to harvest a brain. This is Jim Hightower saying, so, did Fiorina make up this lie herself? Or did her PR team concoct it as a bit of showbiz drama to burnish her right-wing credentials and advance her political ambition? Or maybe she's just spreading a malicious lie she was told by some haters of Planned Parenthood. Either way, there's nothing darling about it, much less presidential.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
It's 5:30 here on 90.1 KZFR. You're listening to Say Hey, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio program. My name is Jake, joined as always by Noobs. Noobs, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. I had a great weekend. Sounds like you had a great weekend.
I did.
Yes. We're riding high, folks. We're coming out of the depths. We're riding high into fall.
Yes.
And there's tons of good stuff to talk about today.
Oh, man, it was a busy weekend.
It was a busy weekend in sports. And I've considered so many different places to start today. But I think we should start with just, unexpected, interesting tweak to an already interesting storyline right at the end of baseball season.
The national meltdown?
The national meltdown.
Oh, man.
And Jonathan Papelbon choking Bryce Harper in the dugout. Oh my goodness.
That was wild. The seeds had been planted, I think, on Friday night, maybe Thursday, Friday night.
Papelbon drilled Machado.
He drilled Manny Machado, and it sounded like Bryce Harper kind of, as an elite player himself, I mean, Machado's not quite on the level as he is, but he kind of took up for hitters and said that act in baseball was, quote, tired.
And he said, like, I'm probably going to get drilled. Yeah.
You know, and usually in baseball, it's kind of like, well, always in team sports, you're supposed to back your teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And but it brings up an interesting discussion on the future of baseball and versus like old tradition and things that you kind of do. You plunk one of your guys gets plunked, you go out and plunk another guy.
Well, and before we even get that far, it's worth noting that Jonathan Papelbon is an embattled closer and teammate. He is not popular in clubhouses wherever he goes, and he's not popular with fans because he's very macho and over the top, you know, in your face kind of dude.
He was popular in Boston when he helped win a World Series.
Well, yeah, that's a little different. The Phillies, he was hated in Philly.
Yeah.
And he just has that rep, kind of like a different AJ Pierzynski in a way.
Okay.
Where if Pierzynski is annoying, Papelbon is just too macho and like red blooded.
Yeah.
And a little Rob Dibble esque.
Right.
And, so he hears Harper make that comment, and of course Papelbon decides that when Harper hits a pop fly and just kind of runs down to first base like everybody does every game, always and forever. I mean, Harper didn't walk down to first base. He hit a fly ball. He kind of slammed his bat. He jogged down to first, touched the bag, walked back to the dugout. The season's already over. It's the 150th game of the season. Papelbon decides to start chewing him out from the top step of the dugout.
Yeah.
Follows him down into the dugout, still standing at the top step. And when Harper starts jawing back, literally lunges forward and grabs him by the throat.
Yeah.
And slams him up against the dugout wall.
Yeah.
Really extreme.
It was extreme.
Not just like a shove. Like, I'm going to choke you.
Right. Yeah, no, this was like, this took the Bonds Kent thing to another level.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you hear about this stuff happening in the clubhouse. You know, you walk down the tunnel and do it out of the camera's view. But this was in front of everybody to see.
And an already disastrous season.
An absolutely disastrous season. And the roots of this are so deep because really, you could kind of pinpoint the start of the Nationals' demise when they actually traded for Papelbon. Yeah, not that he's pitched poorly.
It bumped Drew Storen out of the closer role.
Exactly.
Who was pitching well.
Was pitching great. I mean,
he was not performed in the setup role. Totally messed with his psyche.
So this was a mistake, a calculated gamble by the GM that went horribly wrong. Because not so much like you just said. I mean, you know, Storen hasn't pitched well. Papelbon's been okay, but it's been more about what it did to the pitching staff as a whole. I think.
Yeah.
It kind of just made people like they were cruising along in first place, and then so now you have the general manager making a calculated risk. It didn't turn out. Now the manager himself supposedly yesterday said he didn't even see what had gone on and put Papelbon
back out into the game, and then he gave up 5 runs.
That's inexcusable.
Yeah, it looked so bad on Matt Williams, too.
Horrible.
Horrible.
And then for him to come out and say, well, I didn't know what was happening. I mean, that's inexcusable.
It's very aloof and just like...
No, he's getting fired.
Oh, he's... Yeah.
He's done.
He's done.
And I heard somebody say that, you know, why... Harper was even in that game because usually when you get knocked out of contention, like the next day, they give a lot of the regulars a day off.
It was Fan Appreciation Day.
Oh, okay.
And they were, you know, doing the jersey off my back thing to a raffle fans at the end of the game. So basically, it was Fan Appreciation Day.
Gotcha.
Which is even more irony.
Totally. No, it's great. Yeah. It's great. I mean, and honestly, like, as someone who's backing the Mets right now, I'm kind of loving it.
I am, in a way.
You know?
In another way, it breaks my heart for Matt Williams, who was a great Bay Area baseball player and, by all accounts, a really good baseball guy, but has not fared well in his short run as a manager.
No.
He'll probably wind up... Well, he will get
fired.
He'll
have a job, though,
and then he'll have a job somewhere as a third base coach again or hitting instructor, but...
Yeah.
It's going to be a minute if any time that he's a manager again. Just it's been a disaster.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not a big Bryce Harper fan just because I think he's got that entitlement about the way he plays. But he is a great player.
He is a great player.
And for the most part, he does play really hard. And that's just crazy from Papelbon's perspective. That's just really violent, weird male behavior.
No, it's... Yeah, there's definitely some weird... I mean, I don't even want to get into what I actually think, but you know what I mean? That's for another show and maybe at another time. But I think, you know, it's interesting because I would propose to you that would never have happened with a Paul Goldschmidt, a Nolan Arenado, an Andrew McCutcheon. Like, Bryce Harper is not universally respected.
Well,
and
no,
I'm not excusing what Papelbon did.
His talent is respected, but he does irk people
right. In
the gamesmanship sense.
And I just think in different clubhouses, like, I mean, now, who should be the one to tell tell Bryce to hustle? It should be like a Zimmerman, the closer.
He's even gotten benched before.
From Matt Williams for not hustling. So it's not like he hasn't done this before.
And the funny thing about it was, though, is that this particular instance was not some egregious thing. This was not him peeling off before he got to first base.
Right.
He hit a pop-up, slammed his bat, and kind of trudged down the line. You can watch a dozen players do that every single game.
Yeah.
It was just not a thing.
And too, the other thing is that if the guy had dropped the pop-up, he probably wouldn't have been able to advance to second anyway because it was so close.
Yeah.
So he probably would have been safe.
It was, okay, now I'm going to go after him. A longer point short, what you know, guys throw at people.
Retaliation, yeah.
Dudes like Papelbon homered earlier in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw at his head twice.
Yeah.
That stuff, by and large, doesn't happen very much anymore. It really has already been phased out, aside from a handful of dudes like, what's his name on the Royals earlier this year? Why am I forgetting his name off the top of my head?
I'm not
Herrera.
Sure.
Remember we read that letter of apology he sent out?
It was Ventura.
Ventura.
Yordano Ventura.
Yeah. I mean, they're more like isolated incidents as opposed to just like the standard to say even 20 some odd years ago when guys like Rob Dibble like did it all the time.
Right.
So Papelbon in that sense is already a relic. Like that style of game is not as popular as it once was.
I agree, but the like why he threw at him, that was dumb because, you know, it was a pride thing that he gotten hit. You know, that he had hit a home run off of him. But I think with the retaliation factor that Bryce was bringing up, like, well, now Machado got hit, so therefore I'm probably going to get hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I'm our team's best player. Well, that's the retaliation part of it has not gone out of the game.
No.
The headhunting for like feeling stupid because you got one jacked up on you.
Yeah.
That's different.
And you know, the retaliation factor, I don't think it's a big deal if you want to throw a fastball at somebody's, you know, butt.
Their butt, yeah.
You know, when I played high school baseball, my coach would say, you know, if you want to get back at somebody, throw like towards their numbers. Don't go any higher than that.
No.
Like, because you don't want to risk hitting somebody in the head. That to me is not like the end of the world, because sports are macho at a point and they're aggressive.
Absolutely.
And you're always going to want to stick up for your teammates no matter what sport you play, even if it's not like you don't want to go out and like hurt somebody, but you just kind of send the message that, hey, don't push us around. But when you're headhunting, like, that's just like...
No, there's no place for it.
There's no place for it, because you could really hurt somebody.
You really could. You could kill someone.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could end somebody's career.
You know? I mean, maybe not kill because of the batting helmet.
Because of the helmet, but...
But still.
The point being, like, you could finish somebody's season.
Yeah, I mean, what if they're turning into the pitch and you catch them in the face?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're talking about 98 miles...
It happens on accident all the time,
right.
Let alone when somebody does it on purpose.
Yeah, so, you know...
So, yeah, the whole thing is funny in the sense that the Nationals are a disaster and they're picked to do so well every year.
Right.
And then not funny in the sense that a guy like Papelbon is just like, just kind of,
Well, he's now dropped gross. his appeal of the 3-game suspension from MLB.
Right.
And then the team suspended him for four.
So he's gone. Done. But they already picked up his $16 million option for next year as part of the trade. So it was kind of an uncalculated risk by the GM. It was not a real savvy deal.
Right.
The Nationals, they have this tight relationship with Scott Boras. Their money is kind of all over the place. They need to figure some things out.
Wait, so they're... That's an indicator that they are going to bring him back because
Either they're paying him
to not come back
and he won't come back,
right.
Or they're paying him and he will be back.
Well, but it was the club option? It wasn't a player option?
It was the club option, or maybe it was the player option, but they guaranteed $16 million to him in the trade for next year.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so a little wacky. And then real quick, before we switch over to a little college football, because it was an exciting weekend.
It was a good weekend.
Wanted to touch on A's Giants series, which was a real wild one over the weekend.
I thought a nice moment with Hudson and Zito going
at
it.
Yeah, even though they pitched, you know, like two guys right at the end of their careers.
No, that's what it was. I thought it was the teams kind of almost like coming together and saying, hey, let's showcase these guys for a couple innings.
Uh-huh.
And because they both pitched for Oakland.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so I thought it was a cool Bay Area moment.
It was cool. And then the fans there, those Coliseum games for A's Giants are very 50-50. And it's always a wild crowd. It's a really fun atmosphere because the Giants games, you get a more like 70 Giant, 30 A's fans. But when you get a true 50-50, it's pretty wild. And it was going off all weekend. I had to watch a lot of the games and highlights because I was out of town. But another interesting storyline, even when the team is out of it, and it looks like the Dodgers are going to be doing the East St. Louis toodaloo in San Francisco this week. But there's always fun storylines that pop up with some of the younger guys that get a chance to play. And Jarrett Parker is one of these guys, and he is a power hitter in the minors, AAA. Not known for his average, but definitely raw power, young. Didn't do much in his exposure early on this season, at like 9 at-bats, had like one hit. But this time around, he comes back up when the rosters expand, and he hit 5 home runs in 3 days over the course of this weekend, including 3 in that Hudson-Zito game.
Crazy.
With a grand slam to put the Giants ahead and win 14-10.
Wow.
So there's... No other Giant in history, I believe, other than Willie Mays and Orlando Cepeda, that had ever hit 5 in 3 days. It was really dramatic.
Bonds
never did it.
That's surprising.
He got walked so much, it was kind of hard to hit him in bunches
right.
like that.
True.
But I spliced together all 5 of the home runs from that stretch, and we're going to have a listen to him here. This would be... Dwayne Kuiper, I believe, on 4 of these, and Dave Fleming on 1, and the final one is a grand slam, so you can really feel the momentum of the 8th inning there. So let's have a listen.
Parker, it's a high drive to left. Up and over at the wall. It is out of here! And that's an opposite field home run, and that gives the Giants the lead. Parker, high drive, hit a mile, it is out of here, upper deck! Here's Parker, hit his 3rd home run of the year last night, hit well to left, fold on the move, out of here, he's done it again!
He's homered in three straight games, including today. He crushes one to center field here. Going back on the ball is Burns, and it's gone! Parker does it again!
So two guys that have hit four home runs in three games, Cepeda, Hall of Famer, and Jared Parker. He hits it high! He hits it deep! It is out of here! Unbelievable!
Fun times in Oakland over the weekend. And unless the Giants sweep the Dodgers in a four-game set, which would include victories over Greinke and Kershaw consecutively, the Dodgers will be celebrating their third straight NL West title in San Francisco. I don't remember the last time that happened in San Francisco with the Dodgers. So that's the way it goes. But, hey, they fought through all the injuries and made the last week of the season relevant somehow. So
yeah, they have. I mean,
tip my hat to them in that regard.
For sure.
Yeah. Fun season, though.
No, it was a good season because, I wasn't expecting much.
No.
You as a diehard, I don't think we're expecting much.
No, I was expecting much more of a third place-ish, but Mets clinched the division.
Yeah, and now they've actually taken the lead as far as home field advantage over the Dodgers.
Over the Dodgers, yep, because they'll face off in that first round.
That's determined. Been that way probably for a while now.
And the Cardinals are amazingly still winning. They're going to wind up winning over 100 games. And they'll be the National League leader in wins.
Pirates are still alive.
Pirates are still technically alive.
Three back, and they're playing a three-game set starting tonight in Pittsburgh.
That's true.
Things
could get wild.
Could. Yeah. I mean, because Pittsburgh's won, until last night.
Hot.
I mean, they got shut down by Arrieta, but everybody has.
Yeah.
The previous to that, I think they reeled off eight in a row.
You know, I had Greinke penciled in for a couple of months that he would just win the Cy Young, but Arrieta has just been insane.
Unbelievable.
His ERA is like 0.6 over the last 12 starts.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, there's
almost threw a no-hitter last night.
Yeah, he's like, his stuff is just off the charts. He very well may win the Cy Young.
Greinke's
like a 1.6 ERA and having an amazing year, but I don't know.
I would give it to Arrieta right now.
Just for the way he's finished.
The way he's finished, he's carried that team. I mean,
and those are like, that's like a Greg Maddux-like set of starts.
Oh,
guys don't go 15 games as a starting pitcher and have an ERA under one. Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. And that's why I think Pittsburgh is really going to be giving it their all this week because they don't want to face Chicago in that one-game playoff.
No, I wouldn't
nobody would want
to. And that's who they'd start. They wouldn't start Lester.
No, it would be Jake.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, I mean, with the way he's pitching right now, I mean, he's been unbeatable.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to propel the Cubs into the divisional series.
Right.
Or at least you'd think so.
Yeah, that's going to be an intriguing game.
Oh, it's going to be great because, I mean, honestly, if St. Louis stumbles, which is possible, let's say they get swept and then they only win one out of three against Atlanta on the weekend,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Pittsburgh's got like Cincinnati or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible Pittsburgh runs the table and wins the Central. I mean, I would see St. Louis going out in that game. I don't think they could beat the Cubs.
I don't know. If Arrieta's on the mound?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be wild, though. Still divisional. Or pardon me, I should say wild card is very much still up for grabs in the AL.
Mm-hmm.
Astros are hanging on for dear life. I don't know if they're going to make it. I don't know.
The Angels had suffered a little loss. I mean, they lost Houston Street to a groin injury.
Right.
That's going to be tough. But they're coming on strong. The Twins are only a game and a half back.
Yep. It's pretty much down to those two and the Yankees.
I mean, the Yankees are going to host that game.
They're going to host that game.
They're going to host. So it just depends on whether it's going to be the Astros, the Twins, or the Angels.
And the Blue Jays are looking like they're going to win that division very soon.
And they're now tied with the Royals for best record in the American League.
Right, yeah, because the Royals have been in cruise mode. They haven't had any challenge in the division. And so they haven't played as well win-loss-wise, maybe just because they haven't needed to.
Right.
Whereas the Blue Jays have had to keep their foot on the gas for the whole
season.
Because
the Yankees have been chasing them.
Yeah, the Yankees have been around. So still seeding to be decided in a couple of teams. Now let's move on to college football here on Say Hey for the last 10 minutes. And we got all sorts of movement up and down the rankings with some big games.
Cal's back in the top 25.
Cal's back in the top 25. Oregon with an insane loss. I mean, that's...
Wow.
I mean, I guess it's insane because you're just not used to seeing Oregon lose like that.
You're not used to seeing them lose at all at home.
Right. And they lost, what, 60...
I think it was 63 to 20.
63 to 20, something like that.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Utah is a top 10 team right now.
And as they should
as
be.
As they should be.
You know, and that win over Michigan in the beginning of the season looks better now, too,
and
because
it looks,
Michigan's 3-1.
It looks better for Michigan, too.
Absolutely. All the way around.
Beat BYU this weekend.
Dismantled BYU.
Beat them up. They didn't even have to score in the second half.
You kind of feel like BYU ran out of gas. I mean, they had such a phenomenal three-game run there with the two Hail Mary victories
right.
and then the nail-biter down in UCLA
right.
last weekend. So, you know, I think BYU, like I said, just kind of ran out of steam there in Ann Arbor.
They did, and the Ducks are, I think we touched on it a few weeks ago, they have not had the look of that same high-powered
offense. This
isn't
your older brother's Ducks.
That's right. This is not your older brother's Ducks. And they're probably going to need to figure it out maybe for next year or something.
Yeah.
Because their BCS hopes
are shot.
Yeah, it
shot.
Just doesn't work that way.
Done. Although, I will say this. Oregon is done, but I would not be surprised if we have a two-loss team in the playoff.
Just seems like there's more parity this year than usual.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I could see definitely in the Pac-12. I mean, you've got Utah, UCLA looks good, USC still a good team, even though they lost to Stanford. Stanford, I would say those are the top four teams.
Yeah.
We definitely kind of had like a little bit of a separation this Saturday. It was definitely a showcase day with the two LA teams going into Arizona
mm-hmm.
and dismantling
yeah,
the Sun Devils
UCLA
and Wildcats.
Beating them up. TCU played a shootout with Texas Tech. That was a wild game.
That was a wild game.
Yeah.
And that brings me again to the two-loss thing. I think in the Big 12, you know, Texas Tech can upset some teams. Oklahoma State can upset some teams. So Baylor and TCU, nobody should be penciling them into the playoff.
No, and I can't claim to know a ton about Texas Tech and how much of a surprise that was for them to compete or how much it was a representation of TCU maybe not being quite as good as they're ranked. But I would have to assume that TCU will still have that same little thing on them where if there's a team from a tougher, I don't know, with a tougher schedule, I don't know, them, Baylor, they just don't command the same respect.
No, that
in the long run.
No, I could see the Big 12 getting shut out again
mm-hmm.
because the SEC winner will be in the playoffs. Ohio State or Michigan State will represent the Big Ten.
Well, and the Pac-12 is really good.
That's what I'm saying. The Pac-12 winner, I think, gets in this year.
Yeah.
So that means, you know, it's up to the ACC. If Clemson can run the table, Florida State runs the table maybe, then I could see the Big 12 getting shut out for the second straight year.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm still excited about Cal, obviously. They win over Washington, whom they hadn't beat since 2008 in Washington. And Goff had another good game. They didn't finish real strong offensively, but they finished strong defensively. It's just, I don't know. I mean, you've got Ohio State, who they won that game handily, but they didn't roll anybody over.
No.
I'm still kind of waiting for who's going to take down Ohio State.
Yeah, I got a pencil in that Michigan State game. That's
yeah.
going to be one of the games of the year.
Yeah. When is that again?
November.
Okay. And looking down the charts a little further, a couple teams I haven't. I mean, Northwestern is 4-0.
Yeah,
isn't that
kinda,
weird?
Kind of squeaked by Ball State this weekend.
Yeah,
you know, caught Stanford at the right time. You know, that's one of those teams that they'll just kind of probably dodge some landmines to a 10-2 record, but won't actually be as good as 10-2.
They were historically one of the worst teams in college football history
yeah.
up until about a decade ago.
Well, I mean, yeah, they've been bad. They kind of had one good year there where I think they even – did they go to the Rose Bowl?
I can't remember.
They had some year where they went like 11-1. But, yeah, they're historically the doormat of the Big Ten.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
But it's one of the better academic universities.
That's true.
In that conference. It's
That's
a great
true.
Journalism
Yep.
school.
A lot of journalists. You get a lot of people repping their pride. Have you had any jerseys this year that have made you want to puke? Have you seen any in particular that really made you gag yet?
Well, I mean, Oregon's always kind of, I don't know. It's you either love it or you don't like it. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? I think it's interesting that they never wear the same uniform for all 12 of their games.
Right.
You know, but that's more of a Nike thing. Yeah, I don't know. There's nothing really that's been like, you know, told, you know, gag worthy.
Yeah, maybe we're getting used to it.
The Oklahoma State helmets were weird.
Which ones were those?
They had it was like the silver helmet with a depiction of a cowboy
oh,
on
yeah.
it, but it was like this cowboy that looked like something out of John Steinbeck novel. He just looked withered and beat up, and like it was like weird, like, cartoonish. It wasn't like, didn't make you think of cowboys in a very positive light.
He looked like the dude on the cover of Ween's 12 Golden Country Greats.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I think the worst uniforms I've seen this year, and we won't get deep into it because we're not doing it this season, but I've seen some bad ones in the NFL.
Yeah, the Browns are horrible.
The Browns are horrible. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's awful.
Terrible. And those Black Niner home jerseys are an embarrassment.
Oh, you didn't like those?
Oh, I hated them. Yeah, just they were terrible. They look like the Cincinnati Bearcats or something.
Right.
Who traditionally have one of the worst jerseys in football every year. So, yeah, maybe I'm getting used to how bad the college is and I've given up fighting, and now I just have to be disgusted by the new jerseys in the NFL.
And I think that's coming, too. I think it's going to get weirder and weirder in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, although I haven't checked in with Maryland this year, who's usually right at the top of worst jerseys in college football.
Yeah, I haven't checked them out either. I didn't even see it. I just saw the score on the ticker, and I was like, oh, there's a 40-point.
Right.
They should have stayed in the ACC.
You know, I still have trouble keeping all problems with it. It's still like, I can't.
Well, it's just ridiculous. We need to go back to a more geographical aligned day. When I was watching the games, I did my thick ball. Yeah. And so I
basically. John Newbery's
sanity.
Return
actually,
to sanity.
I mean, get Texas A&M back in the Big 12. You know, let's get calm. And this should be happening. West Virginia has no business playing in the Big 12. Maryland shouldn't be in the Big 10. Rutgers shouldn't be in the Big 10. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Right. And then there's just all the different divisions of each division. And I'm just
in
like
the Atlantic.
Sometimes I'll be watching a college football station. They'll have like a classic bowl game on or ad for that game, and they'll and then like I can't. I don't know. It's just I cannot keep it straight for me there.
Have some guys. You know, have a uniform thing. None of this. Where the Big Ten.
Right.
Let's just get them all up to 14 or 16.
Off. Uh-huh.
Where you have the conference large teams.
Right.
So like the SEC number two and whatever can get in depending on the strength of conference in any given year.
Right.
And then you have a three-game play, you know, an 8. Northern Illinois goes 12-0 one of these years.
And then in the last couple of minutes here, I'll say that game for baseball.
Oh, it's Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay. Yep. All right. But we'll have that ready plays this year, which actually hasn't happened. So there won't be a Bay Area representative. NL West happens this weekend.
Right.
Which it's not going to.
A stat the other day that the A's and the AL West.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable, the domination.
Yeah.
I mean, Texas getting in there a couple times.
Texas a couple of times.
Mariners a couple of wild one cards. Time in the right. last decade and a half.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think the
Mariners have won since
like 2001
when they won 116 games.
And then got
knocked out by the Yankees in five games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a while. But we're going to finish up with a little underwriting here. Say Hey was, of course, made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Chico's newest restaurant, Buffalo Wild Wings, featuring 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HD TVs with nonstop sports, wings, and more at 801 East Avenue. Every day, they're open 11 a.m. till midnight. More info at buffalowildwings.com. Then we got Woodstock's Pizza, proudly serving Chico. Since 1983, Woodstock's offers award-winning pizza, salads, sandwiches, appetizers, and desserts in the heart of downtown Chico. With flexible seating and customized menus, Woodstock's can also host large groups or cater your special event. For more info, visit online at woodstockschico.com. Shout out to Steve Hoffman, just because he's still there. The Hoff.
The Hoff.
I used to work with the Hoff right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a Woodstock's institution.
He is an institution in his own right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Steve Hoffman is an institution. All right. We'll see you next week, noobs. Stick around.